And my words are going to even be briefer than Ruby's, because we are doing this series about our emotional stuff. And we thought that this morning, seeing it's Mother's Day, Ruby and I actually like to call it Relationship Day, because not all of us can relate to mothers that we are appreciative of. And some of us lost mothers very early. And I could go through the list. Some of us on Mother's Day would rather forget mothers and families, actually. And so I always find that when we get to Father's Day and Mother's Day, it is better to kind of make it more inclusive and call it Relationship Day, where we think of relationships with people at work, in our neighborhood, in our extended family. You can go across the board. And where Ruby and I thought we might go this morning very briefly is that how do you do relationship with someone where that someone has currently got stuff in their lives? Can we all relate to this? How do we do relationship with someone when that someone has got stuff in their life? How do we do that? Tell the person very briefly next to you, go to it. Okay, friends. So what I thought was I would put myself on the spot this morning and tell you about some of my stuff that Ruby has had to live with. Please do not reduce me to the stuff. I am more than the stuff. Please do not quote the stuff back to me. So I share a little bit vulnerably this morning. If I had to start off, I would say this. I've had a fantastic life. I feel as though whenever I get to the time of retirement, I'll look back on my life and be very thankful for the many chapters that I've had, including the chapter with you. So I think that my life has been great. No, I mean that. But during the chapters, I've had stuff. Stuff that people around me have had to learn to live with. And hello, friend. Is this Kyson? Who's this? Is this Quinny? That's Quinn. Quinn often comes into my office and we just sit and have a great talk during the week. Is that right, Quinn? So, if I had to talk about my stuff, I'm going to do it very briefly and it goes like this. Just some examples. In my early 20s, when Ruby and I met, I found it very hard to get emotionally attached to people. In other words, whenever there was a hint of emotional intimacy, I would walk away. And so when Ruby, when we were going out at that time and she expressed her love, oh, I wonder if at this point, because I'm sharing a bit vulnerably, thanks. Thanks, Monique. When Ruby expressed her love for me, for example, I just slammed the door in her face and walked away and for months couldn't find a way back to her. It wasn't because of her, it was because I had stuff in my own life from my own family upbringing. So when I had to fill in a card like this morning, I struggled. I mean, what do you say thank you for to a mum that in some respects you struggled to be appreciative of? So even though since that, I have grown to love and respect my mother, but that has been a journey in itself. So that was some stuff with Ruby and I. When I got to my 30s, I became a workaholic. And for about 10 years, I was just this driven person. And you know when you become a driven person, you damage relationships, especially some of the most important relationships in your life. And so I damaged relationships with my children, and I damaged my relationship with Ruby. I was just a workaholic. When I got to my early 40s, that's when a whole lot of brown stuff started to hit the fan. And, oh, I don't know, I went through a period in my life where I hated doing what I was doing. But, you know, I just had to keep turning up. I had jobs and ministries in those years where I just didn't like it. It was like wading through cement. And so Ruby at that time and my kids at that time had to learn to live with a husband and a father who just was not happy. That was my stuff during that time. And then I went through a 10-year period where I traveled the world and had a fantastic time. And I was a speaker, lecturer, teacher, writer, a mentor and alongsider to hundreds and thousands of people. Absolutely fantastic. But often I was away. And so Ruby and the family then had to learn to live with that. And now I come to this chapter. And you're all dying to know what the stuff is that I'm struggling with now. And so if I was to answer that question, it would go like this. You know when you start something new? It's like you go back down again and you start all over again. I find it really difficult as a person to start all over again. Can anyone relate to that? I have really found it difficult as a human being to begin a new chapter and starting all over again. And I'm getting better. Am I getting better? But it has been a monumental struggle. And there again, Ruby has had to learn to live with a person who's in the struggle of beginning all over again. So how does a person like her live with a person like me and all my stuff? Ruby.
Yeah, well, I think I'm pretty amazing. Next month, Mick and I have done 34 years of married life, and it's sure had its battles. But I love him dearly. I love him dearly, and I could say lots of wonderful things about him and why I'm still there. But anyway, so what I've got very briefly is kind of like 10 kind of wisdoms, let's say. And it's about living with stuff in a marriage, living with stuff in a family, with your kids. It might be living stuff with your own parents, or even with colleagues at work or neighbours, where you're spending time, significant time, with people who've got stuff, and really it's not easy. And in my wisdom, I will whip through some things, but I do not underestimate the great difficulty it is. Probably, I would say, the greatest difficulty of your life is to live with others who are struggling. I don't think there's anything much harder, actually, because it goes right to the heart of you as well. So, first point. So, we've got some overheads. Point one, it's not your responsibility to change them. Now, if you remember nothing else this morning, go home and grapple with this. At the end of your life, your God is not going to say, "Why didn't you change him? Why didn't you change your kids?" He does not hold us responsible for changing them. And I don't think that there is a better story than the prodigal son. Luke 15, fabulous story about a father with a son who had stuff and he let him go. And I love that little phrase where it says, the son, he came to himself. And he was in a pig pen. And he was far off from the father. And the point being that that light bulb stuff, that kind of like, oh, this is what I need to do and how I need to see myself or my life differently, that's God's work. We can do all kinds of other sharing of wisdom and truth and all of that, but we don't do the changing. That's God's work. And actually, it's an incredible relief and allows you to take your hands off and relax a bit more if you ever get the hang of it. There's a great verse in 2 Timothy 2:24. which says here, as a servant of the Lord, you must not argue. You must be kind to everyone. You must be a good teacher, and you must be patient. You must gently teach those who don't agree with you. Maybe God will let them change their hearts so they can accept the truth. The devil has trapped them, now makes them do what he wants, but maybe they can wake up to see what's happening and free themselves from the devil's trap. Like, that kind of maybe. Who knows? But it's not your job. It's not your responsibility. Point number two. Other people's stuff triggers your stuff. Now, I'm not going to go into this one because we had a fabulous series with Richard Black. So for those who were there, and there are podcasts from Richard, he spent a whole week with us, and that's basically what he was talking about, is that when other people do stuff, you get an emotional response and you have to then look at yourself. And if you don't do this, you'll never do well at living with other people's stuff. So just pointing you backwards to Richard for that one. Point number three. Never assume what is going on. Now, probably us women are the worst at this, I would have to say, in my experience. Women love to analyze. They love to dig in and think, what's really going on here? Oh, I think I know what it is. And they talk about it. What are you laughing for, Dave? It's just such a female thing. You know, nothing is worse than someone coming along to you and saying, oh, I know just how you feel. They don't. I don't know how someone else feels. I never will. Or, you know, what I think is really happening is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I share with you my great insight about what I think is happening with you. I mean, there's nothing worse. It's really annoying. It's really wrong. You just don't know what is happening with somebody else. What we have to do is we have to be able to say things like, tell me what you think is going on. You know, do we ever say that? Explain to me how you're feeling. I wonder if, you know, if you may have some little light bulb moment where you think you see something, but, you know, I wonder if, what do you think? It could be absolute rubbish, but I don't know, this was just a thought I had. Just never assume that you know what's going on. You don't need to know. You don't need to understand. So let it go. Number four, God is present. Very simple, but incredibly powerful. And probably I have lots of amazing stories of seeing what God has done and what God has said, but one that is just an absolute gem for me was with our daughter Emily, the eldest daughter, who went through a lot of stuff and had a lot of stuff in her life. And she went off to Australia, and she rang me up one Saturday morning. She was on a train in Sydney on her way to work, and she rings me up. Sorry if I've told the story before, but it was just so amazing. And she says, Mum. And I'm like, yep. She says, you know, I'm on the train going to work, and I'm trying to read my book. And this guy, he got on the train, and he tried to talk to me. And I really, really didn't want to talk to him because I just want to read my book. But he was, you know, so persistent, and he kept being really nice, and he just seemed like a really genuine guy. So I thought, okay, all right. So I talked to him. And he told me all about how he became a Christian and how God has just done these amazing things in his life. And she said, and as he got off the train, he says, God is with you. She says, what do you think about that? Is that crazy or what? This God just won't leave me alone. It was just one of those amazing examples of how God is present in people's lives. And he's doing his own work. He is at work. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's doing it. Again, it's incredibly encouraging to know God is present. Point number five. Again, sounds simple. Walk in the Spirit. I do encourage you to memorize Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit, you all know it, don't you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Memorize it. If we walk in those fruits, amazing things will happen in that space between us and someone else who's got stuff. But it's hard work. You can't grow fruit like this, like, grow fruit, I really want to be loving. You can't, it doesn't work. I've tried. Failed. You know, we grow the fruit of the Spirit. How does a tree grow fruit? By sitting in the sun, basking in the sun, by soaking up the nurture of the rain that falls into the ground. In some ways, there is nothing greater that we will give someone else who's got stuff than ourselves being in a good, strong, nurtured place with God. So as I nurture my own soul, as I spend time with my own God, the fruit will grow. And something else practical that I have done is that sometimes I've taken a whole year focusing on a fruit and just praying for a particular fruit that I know I really need to grow in my life. Sometimes it's just patience with someone else, or kindness, or gentleness. We so need those fruits in that space. Point number six. This is an interesting one. Change hats. Well, be conscious of your hats. So what this is about is that there are various roles that we play in life. So as a wife, there's a wife hat. As a mum, there's a mum hat. As a work colleague, colleague hat. As a boss, I'm a boss of lots of people. It's a boss hat. As a friend, there's a friend hat. So know what hat you're wearing. And in some ways, one of the things about hats that I was thinking is, you know what that hat is calling from you. You know, I think in the space between us as a couple, that I am a wife, that's the hat I am primarily wearing. And when I'm wearing that hat, I am being called to love, to be affectionate, to be understanding, to be a cheerleader. I'm not called to be a counselor. I'm not called to be a teacher. I'm called to be a cheerleader more than anything else. So different hats call different things out of us. I think as a friend, we're a supporter, we're about mutual sharing, we're about fun. We've had a lot of conversation this week at work. There's been a lot of stuff going on. You know, what does being a boss call out of me? I think to be stable, to be focused, to be inspiring. So I think, what is the hat I need to wear? But sometimes I have to take the hat off. Sometimes the hat you're wearing, whether it's as a parent or as a boss or even as a friend, you actually have to take off and put aside and say, right now, I need to be something different. This person needs something different right now in this space. So it's just something to think about in that relationship. Number seven, consult your group. Have your own support group. I feel God has been incredibly faithful to me at very particularly difficult times in my life, and he has provided a support person or a support group. And when emotions, you know, bubble up, because it's not always easy living with somebody else who's got stuff, you know, I find that God has given me someone that I can just share that with, let out the emotions, talk about it in a safe, confidential space. So consult your support group. Don't go sharing other people's stuff that isn't yours to share around the place. I often say this isn't mine to share, but sometimes God gives you that safe place, that support group. Number eight, be quick to apologize. Because you do stuff wrong. I know I do lots of stuff wrong. And when someone else triggers me, I make mistakes. And I put my big mouth in it. I make those assumptions. I bowl ahead and say the wrong thing. I completely stuff it up and upset the other person. And I have to be big enough to say, I'm sorry. Bulldozed in all over you, or I completely got that wrong, or I was insensitive, or I wasn't what you needed at that point in time. Just apologize. Keep your accounts clean. 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just. He forgives us our sins and lets us get on with the job. Number nine, give them space. Give people space. There's one version of Colossians 3:13, which says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. You know, that word allowance is a word which is spacious. You know, what God is doing in someone else's life, it's not my responsibility. It takes time. They do it in their own way. Sometimes they need to do it privately without you. Sometimes they need to just burrow into their own heart space and do the work. Sometimes they need to go to somebody else, especially your kids. They really need space from their parents to work out their own stuff. Give people the space. Don't pester them to tell you how they're getting on or how they're feeling today. Sometimes Mick and I would make a contract with one another and we'd say, look, we'll have a really good talk about what's going on, and then we're not going to talk about this for, 2 weeks. That was really, really healthy for us to give each other space. Last one. It's not about you. It's not about you. So often, someone else is really struggling and we make it about ourselves. Oh, poor me, I've got to live with this person and here they are going through another really difficult time. Would they just get their act together? This is so hard for me. Poor me. And I've done it. And it's not about me. It's not about me. God is good. God is great. God is patient. God is kind. God is generous. God is powerful. God is the healer. God is the savior. God is at work in people's lives. But his work takes time. He's incredibly patient. He never gives up. Allow him to do his work. Be generous. Be kind of heart. Be gentle. Be patient. And he can do what he wants to do. Let's pray. Our God, you call us to be in marriages, in families, in communities, as neighbors, as friends. You call us to be social. You call us to be lovers of one another. But you know how hard we find it, Lord. You know that as we walk with one another, our humanity is prickly and difficult at times. And so we ask you for your wisdom. We ask you for your grace, for your generosity to us, to enable us to be who we need to be for others, Lord, as you have been to us. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.
While we find Dave, was that okay? Could we just roll those, Neville, the 10, and with the person next to you, which one was the one that you thought, oh, yes, that's the one for me, okay? And work it out with the person next to you. Just roll those, keep rolling them over, okay? Go to it while we try and find Dave Dyack.